Today's parable of the wheat and the weeds was first heard many centuries ago, but what it speaks to, the presence of sin and evil, the purposes of God, and the life of believers, seems all too relevant today, when the language of good versus evil is strewn heavily throughout everyday conversations, political pronouncements, and religious debates. Everywhere we find lines being drawn and people looking to wipe out evil and those they believe are committing or encouraging it. What a surprise then to hear the householder's counsel to the servants in today's parable. When the servants come to him agitated and upset upon discovering weeds coming up right alongside the wheat, he turns down their earnest offer to pull up the weeds immediately. It's not that the householder doesn't see the weeds or know where they came from. After all, he's the one who says an enemy did this. He also sees what his zealous servants cannot, that weeds and wheat aren't always easy to tell apart, especially when the weed is darnel, a grass whose long, slender bristles make it look very much like wheat. That's why I chose the picture on the cover of the bulletin. If the servants were to try to extract the weeds, they'd pull up wheat and leave weeds behind. So the householder commands the servants to let the weeds and the wheat grow together until the harvest, when it will be absolutely clear what to gather in and what to discard. He also tells them it's going to be somebody else's work, not theirs, which is all very well in a parable, but more disturbing when we think about what's really being talked about, God's kingdom and the forces that seek to prevent its growth, to disrupt it and destroy it. It makes us wonder, doesn't Jesus get it? Doesn't God care? This is serious. The answer is, of course God cares, and of course Jesus gets it. But God takes a different approach to the reality of evil in the world, an approach that involves patience, purpose, and hope. And then Jesus calls us to do the same. Jesus says this knowing that even his most fervent disciples are going to resist this approach, will want to hurry things along and engage in their own frenzied program of early weed eradication. But Jesus says, don't. To follow that approach is not a mark of faith, but instead evidence that we have doubts about God's ability to bring in the harvest. It also reveals our irritation and discomfort at discovering that God prefers to govern with great forbearance and to judge with mildness, to quote the writer of the Wisdom of Solomon, even though we ourselves are the blessed beneficiaries of that mercy and that forbearance. Of course, this wouldn't be the only example of such resistance to God's approach. All the Gospels are filled with stories of people who didn't get what God was doing in Jesus, who worried Jesus wasn't using the right strategy. When Jesus was arrested and put to death, his disciples and his enemies alike believed that the powers of death had won, that the weeds of destruction and chaos would now overrun the field of the world and choke the life right out of us. And yet, to the end, even on the cross, Jesus kept faith with the God of this parable, a God of wisdom and forbearance, who does not attack or condemn, who simply, steadfastly continues to keep his word and fulfill his promises. The powers that be saw Jesus as the weed in their field and chose to tear him out of life. But when God raised Jesus from the dead as the first fruits of God's harvest, Jesus became the guarantee that we shall enjoy the same harvest and that nothing will ever be able to choke off our life with God or prevent God's harvest in the fullness of time. But what shall we do in the meantime? Are we supposed to sit idly by while evil rears its ugly head, while divisions and injustices arise? Are we simply to grit our teeth and bear it? That's not what Jesus is saying. Think back, if you will, to the Sermon on the Mount. There, Jesus proposed an alternative to our presumptuous and misguided early weed eradication program, in which we identify evil with particular groups of people and seek to eliminate them, if not from life, then from our communities and our churches, or at least from our sight. Jesus has come to enlist us in his holy and wholly different campaign. Resist evil with good. Meet hatred with love. Let the wheat of mercy and generosity show forth in all that you say and do. Never stop trusting God's purpose and power. And wait. Wait with patience and hope, even when it's, and especially when it looks like God is not winning. And I'm not sure winning is the right way to describe what God's objective is, but that's for another sermon. That's why in this parable and throughout Matthew's gospel, Jesus pleads with us to give up trying to cut out all the weeds so we can show ourselves to be the perfect wheat. Jesus implores us to give up working against the very grace that we proclaim. Because the truth is, we ourselves are both wheat and weed, at once saints and sinners, as Luther put it. And it's grace indeed that God doesn't cast us away, but rather devotes God's self to saving us. You see, at its heart, this parable is about patience, the patience God has and the patience we need, because until Jesus comes again, we will continue to live in a world so much less than ideal. And all our frenzied attempts to label, sort, and discard now is not going to speed the day God has appointed for the great gathering in. We can't rush the harvest and put it on a timetable we'd prefer. Instead, God gives us time to exercise God's own mercy and patience, and to be the very best wheat we can be, to be willing to see and to speak with and about those we distrust or fear or oppose, to see them as fellow human beings, as children of God, as we are, as much the target of God's love and God's grace as you and I are. If we can persevere in being more wheat than weeds, in speaking and acting with God's own mercy, perhaps we can be part of the solution instead of enlarging the problem. Perhaps we can encourage inviting a table of genuine dialogue, not polemics about diverse approaches to problems, rather than refusing to sit at the table with those people. There is a way in which we all just want the big troubles of our time to go away, and the people we think caused them to go away too. But that's not God's way. That's not Jesus' way. God persists in inserting mercy and grace in the most intractable and frightening situations. But tucked into this parable is another clue that God wants us to consider this approach. When the householder tells the servants to let things be, to let the weeds and the wheat continue to grow together, he uses the same Greek word used in the Lord's Prayer and elsewhere to say forgiveness. This word encourages us to negotiate the territory between destructive anger and utter despair, neither of which is our calling as Christians. This word gives us room to let hope in God's promises rule our hearts and minds and make us consider the possibility of conversion so that we don't feel driven to make an end of things or make an end of people right now, which you'll remember is not our job according to Jesus. That reminds me of the witness Deborah Niakabirika made after her son was killed in the 1994 genocide in Rwanda. Months after his death, a young man came to visit her. He said, "I killed your son. Take me to the authorities and let them deal with me as they will." But Deborah answered, "You are no longer an animal, but a man taking responsibility for your actions. I don't want to add death to death, but I want you to restore justice by replacing the son you killed. I am asking you to become my son. And when you visit me, I will care for you." This is the gospel work Pastor John Ritsenden Twarani, who many of you have met, and the Lutheran Church of Rwanda have taken up, building a church where perpetrators and survivors of justice, of genocide, worship together in the same pew, learn the power of forgiveness, and work together for the needs of their communities. Of course, to live this way, even in small ways, is difficult and sometimes frustrating, at times even maddening, because we human beings are chronically impatient with our brothers and sisters and with God. We find it difficult to wait for the future or to stop and see signs of the future sprouting amid the present. But as always, there's good news today. God sees the wheat and the weeds of us and doesn't turn away. God forgives our presumptions, doubt, impatience, and need to be right. God doesn't cast us away, but instead creates in us new hearts, puts a new spirit within us, and nourishes this new life with the very body and blood of Jesus, who lived and died and rose again for the very mixed and mixed up field of this world. And then, graced by God, you and I will be able to wait with hope, with faith active in love, until the day when all of us will be surprised to see just whom God has brought together and gathered in the holy harvest barn. And that's the way it is. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now I invite